From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, where we are working every day to advance family, freedom, and life, and to keep you informed on the biggest news in government, policy, and culture from a biblical perspective. And on today's show, we're going to tell the truth that the media refuses to tell about a new study intentionally being used to misrepresent abortion pill reversal and attack Nebraska's newest pro-life law. We'll tell you what you need to know about what the study really shows and why it's important for pro-life efforts in Nebraska. Plus, we'll share some important updates on religious freedom and how Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is defending the First Amendment. So, if you've been listening to the show for a while, we have covered multiple times the great new pro-life law that the Nebraska legislature passed earlier this year about abortion pill reversal. And what this law accomplishes is really important because over half of all abortions in Nebraska are now a chemical or medication abortion. And what Nebraska's law does is it requires abortion providers, anyone who is prescribing the abortion pill, to inform women that if they change their mind and want to continue their pregnancy, that there is help available and they might still have a viable pregnancy and they don't have to go through with the full process and they can find help. It's purely about information. It doesn't restrict anyone's access to abortion or anything like that. It's just giving factual information and really providing hope. Because what we know is that a lot of women regret abortion even immediately after taking the abortion pill. And my goodness, the pro-choice side absolutely hates this law. And a number of states have passed similar legislation about abortion pill reversal and making sure that women make a truly informed and voluntary decision and know that there is hope and help available to them should they change their mind, which really, if you're pro-choice, that shouldn't be an issue, you know, if you're giving someone a choice. And so that's what the law is about. But pro-abortion proponents hate that. They absolutely can't stand it because it completely undermines their narrative that abortion is good and in the best interests of women and empowering and something that should be celebrated. It sends a message that women regret abortion, that they change their mind, and that thankfully, in many cases, in fact, now hundreds across the country, women have changed their mind immediately after taking the abortion pill and have actively sought help and successfully reversed the effects of the abortion pill and saved their child's life. And that's a wonderful thing that we should celebrate. But instead, what we're seeing is increasing efforts to try to undermine the truth about abortion pill reversal, to continue promoting medication abortions, and to try to stop anyone from getting this information out to the general public, that abortion pill reversal is a real thing, that it's effective, and that it's saved hundreds of lives across the country. And so to that end, a study was being conducted by researchers from the University of California, Davis, to test the effectiveness of abortion pill reversal. And this past week, they announced that they had to stop the study. They couldn't even finish conducting it all the way or test as many women as they wanted to. They had to end it early because of safety concerns. And so the national news media like NPR and even the local media like the Lincoln Journal Star both ran articles with headlines like this. This is from NPR. Safety problems lead to early end for study of abortion pill reversal. And it's all about how abortion pill reversal is so unsafe that we can't even test it. And so we can't possibly require in state laws that women are informed about this, about reversal before abortion. In fact, one state senator in Nebraska, Omaha State Senator Megan Hunt, announced that in light of this news that she was going to introduce, is planning on introducing new legislation come January to repeal the law that Nebraska just passed. Here's the problem. All of that is patently false. As it turns out, the study doesn't show that abortion pill reversal is unsafe. it shows that the abortion pill is what's unsafe and that reversal is actually effective. But if you read the headlines or read these articles, you would have no idea that that's what the study found. And those behind the study and those on the pro-choice side are doing their best to make sure that they are twisting the facts to make reversal look as bad as possible and the abortion pill to look as safe and effective as possible. When really, as it turns out, the study just confirms what we've been saying all along, that the abortion pill can have serious side effects and cause serious health problems for women, and that reversal is safe. So again, what we're talking about when we talk about the abortion pill and abortion pill reversal is this. The abortion pill is actually a two-step process. First, a woman takes a pill with mifepristone. What mifepristone does is it blocks progesterone, and that causes the death of the unborn child. Progesterone is a naturally produced hormone in the body that is necessary to sustain a healthy pregnancy. And so the first pill, the mifepristone, causes the death of the unborn child, and then 24 to 48 hours later, a second pill is taken that expels the child from the body. And so what abortion pill reversal is, all that means is that after taking the first pill, if a woman changes her mind, she simply doesn't take the second pill. So after taking the first pill with mifepristone, instead, she takes progesterone, which again, the first abortion pill is blocking progesterone. So basically you flood the body with more progesterone and it's able to keep the child alive. That's what reversal means. And so it's pretty well established that progesterone has been used safely for decades to help sustain healthy pregnancies and even to help prevent miscarriage. It's a naturally produced hormone. And of course, mifepristone is not. And mifepristone is known to cause things like severe bleeding. And then if you take the second pill, which expels the child from the body, essentially what that is doing is inducing labor. And so reversal is really very basic and common sense. And in fact, now more than 900 women nationwide have successfully gone through the reversal process and given birth to healthy babies, which is great news, and we're excited to share about that. And so this study, really, they're doing this study because they want to disprove reversal. That's the whole point of it. So they were conducting a study to test the effectiveness of reversal, if progesterone, if you could really help someone continue the pregnancy, if this is something we should be doing or not. Opponents of reversal claim that it's not safe, it's untested. We don't know if it really works or makes a difference. And so before I further explain what the study actually found, I'd like to pause and talk about this type of study itself, which is highly unethical, because this is what they're doing with the study. Okay, they sought out to find women who were scheduled for a surgical abortion, so a later term abortion. And so they identified these women and they say, hey, you're scheduled for a surgical abortion. Hey, instead, why don't you take an abortion pill and we'll do a chemical abortion. And then we'll give half of the women, we'll give them progesterone to see if it works, if we can counteract the abortion pill and keep the child alive. And then to the other half of the women in this study, we'll give them a placebo. And that really, that is unbelievably twisted. I mean, literally playing games with the lives of unborn children, you know, taking children that are scheduled to have their lives ended through abortion, then actively trying to keep them alive, telling some women that they will be kept alive, but giving them a placebo. It's all very unethical. And we shouldn't be doing those types of studies, experimenting with the lives of unborn children. But they did. So they set out to do this. And initially, I believe they wanted to test reversal on 40 to 50 women, but they had to cancel after only conducting this on 12 women. So of the 12 women involved in the study who took mifepristone, which is, again, the first of two medications in the abortion pill, three of them had to be hospitalized for severe bleeding. Again, this was after taking the abortion pill and not even getting to progesterone, which is essential for reversal. So 3 out of the 12 women were hospitalized for severe bleeding, and 2 of the 3 women hospitalized were a part of the placebo group, which did not receive progesterone. So the findings of the study also happened to show, which, boy, they tried to bury this. This is never mentioned in any of the articles. 4 of the 5 women who did receive progesterone, meaning that they actually went through reversal, still had viable pregnancies when the study ended, compared to only 2 viable pregnancies in the placebo group. So not only does the study not demonstrate that abortion pill reversal is unsafe, it actually provides further evidence that reversal is effective and a viable option for mothers who wish to save their pregnancy. But they just so happen to leave that little fact out in the articles from NPR and the Lincoln Journal Star. But if you read the study, what it says is that mifepristone, again, the abortion pill, that's what's unsafe. And now that 25% of the women in their very unethical study who took the abortion pill suffered severe bleeding before they could even try reversal, they're scrambling for an explanation. Oh, and by the way, it turns out that 4 of the 5 women who actually did go through reversal and receive the progesterone had viable pregnancies, meaning that reversal was effective. But of course, that doesn't matter because it doesn't fit the pro-choice narrative, and we had to call off this study because so many women were having severe complications from the mifepristone, the abortion pill. But because we're trying to study the effectiveness of reversal, we're going to pin it on reversal and use that as a basis to try and repeal Nebraska's law, making sure that women truly have a choice and that they know that there is such a thing as reversal and that there is help available to them if they change their mind. State Senator Joni Albright, who sponsored Nebraska's abortion pill reversal law this year, said in a statement to the Lincoln Journal Star that an attack on a woman's right to be informed and a mother's right to choose life is what's behind this. She said, "I am proud that Nebraska passed this law, and I know that we will uphold this law that gives women a second chance at choice." And that's exactly the right response. And all of this goes to show how important it is that we have good public policy that defends innocent human life and informs women of all of their options and creates true choice. Because what we're seeing from this is that the other side doesn't care about the facts. They want women to believe that a chemical abortion is safe and that reversal is what's dangerous, when in fact the pro-choice side's own ethically questionable study trying to disprove reversal actually demonstrates how dangerous the abortion pill really is and how effective reversal really is. This is just the latest example of being willing to place politics and philosophical differences over science and what we know to be true. And we know that because of how hard they're trying to spin this study, which again couldn't even be completed because the abortion pill and not reversal was so unsafe. But their study didn't go as planned, which, by the way, the whole reason they set out to do this study was to disprove reversal. You know, they say they're testing the effectiveness, but the researchers behind this are abortionists themselves who hate abortion pill reversal. They're trying to disprove it, but the study didn't go as planned. It's clear they set out with a goal in mind to try and undermine or discredit abortion pill reversal, and instead, they helped prove that the abortion pill is what's risky and dangerous to even the smallest number of patients. So despite what abortionists think and want the general public to think and want lawmakers to think, it is possible and safe for women to stop and reverse a chemical or medical abortion process with progesterone if they act quickly enough, which means they need that information when they are prescribed the abortion pill. And again, Heartbeat International reports that now over 900 babies nationwide have been saved. And those human lives are something that you can't put a price on. And I'll say this, the pursuit of science, or in this case, really just the pursuit of trying to disprove or undermine a pro-life narrative or basic fundamental truth about unborn children, it should never be used as an excuse to abuse living preborn babies. There is no reason to run a study like this in a way that essentially tortures and plays with the lives of preborn babies and puts women at risk. Every life is a precious gift created in the image of God that deserves to be cherished and protected, and not toyed with and then discarded by pro-abortion scientists. And if you want more information about abortion pill reversal, what it is, how it works, why Nebraska's law is so important, and what you can do to help defend life in Nebraska, please visit our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. Defending life is one of our key focus areas at Nebraska Family Alliance. Another area where we're dedicated to preserving and protecting and advocating for is religious freedom, because religious freedom is our most foundational freedom. In fact, our nation's founders recognized this God-given right as so fundamental to who we are that they preserved it in our Constitution's First Amendment. Yet throughout the country, efforts are underway to restrict religious freedom and punish people of faith because of their beliefs. We've seen it, of course, with bakers and florists and photographers and videographers and pastors and churches, but we're also seeing it with Christian adoption agencies and other faith-based ministries being forced out because of their Christian faith. And now, surprisingly, we can even add Kanye West to that list. Last week, the Freedom From Religion Foundation set their target on Kanye West and two county jails in Texas, threatening to sue them because Kanye West gave a surprise performance with a gospel choir to inmates at the county jails. And attendance was voluntary. But that doesn't matter to them because, as we all know, it's easier to do nothing and simply attack those who are doing something or think or believe differently than you do. But one thing is clear. Continued attacks like this expose a growing anti-Christian sentiment in America, led by the Freedom From Religion Foundation and other groups like them, who wish to rewrite the First Amendment and to prohibit our free exercise of speech and religion. And whether you like it or not, or whether you're a celebrity like Kanye West or not, the fact is that the freedom of religion is guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution. And thankfully, United States Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell knows this and is actually willing to defend religious liberty in America. He gave a fiery and passionate defense of religious liberty on the U.S. Senate floor last week. And it's a great reminder of the importance of defending religious freedom. This is what Senator McConnell had to say.
The liberty of conscience and the freedom to live out our faith has been a foundational principle from the Republic's earliest days. Many of the first Europeans who arrived in the New World came here fleeing religious persecution. James Madison wrote that religion, quote, must be left to the conviction and conscience of every man, and it's the right of every man to exercise it as they may dictate. Samuel Adams said in the summer of 1776, that America would be the last asylum for freedom of thought and the right of private judgment. So let me contrast the understanding of the founders with a couple of current events. Last month, New York State convinced a district judge to throw out the Trump administration's conscience protection rule for healthcare providers. This straightforward rule ensured healthcare workers could not be forced to perform or assist with medical procedures that profoundly violate their religious beliefs. But the radical Democrats in New York could not abide this basic protection for people of faith. Instead, they want to force Christians and other people of faith who work in healthcare to either assist in procedures like abortion or lose their jobs. So much for freedom of conscience. New York's behavior is part of a disturbing trend. Powerful interests on the left want to shrink freedom of religion until it means freedom to go to church for an hour on Sundays as long as it doesn't impact the rest of your life. They want to shrink freedom of religion until it means freedom to go to church for an hour on Sundays as long as it doesn't impact the rest of your life. That shrunken interpretation is nothing like what our founders intended. And candidly, I'm not sure how much longer the modern Democratic Party will even believe in that. A few months ago, a Democrat running for president told CNN that government should take away the tax-exempt status of churches and religious institutions that disagree with left-wing positions. This, Madam President, was not some fringe candidate. It was a guy whom Democrats and the mainstream media had likened to John F. Kennedy, openly suggesting the federal government should punish churches if liberals don't like their social views. How appalling. These disturbing signs have not been limited to the courts or to the Democratic campaign trail. Absurd anti-religious arguments have appeared right here in the Senate. In the last several years, some of our Democratic colleagues have tried literally to impose religious tests on nominees for federal office. Just take the no religious test clause and the First Amendment and throw it right out the window. Get rid of it. These warning signs on religious freedom are literally popping up everywhere the modern political left rears its head. Religious freedom in America has never meant, and will never mean, solely the freedom to worship privately. It has never meant and will never mean the ability to practice only a subset of faiths acceptable to some subset of politicians. What it means is the right to live your life according to the dictates of your faith and your conscience, free from government coercion.
And that's the beauty of the First Amendment and religious freedom, well articulated by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Religious freedom has never meant and will never mean solely the right to worship in a church or for an hour on Sunday. It's about the right to live and work every day, every hour, according to your beliefs, according to your conscience, without being coerced or punished by your own government. But the threats and attempts to undermine religious freedom and the First Amendment aren't going away. And that's why at Nebraska Family Alliance, we are committed to protecting the right of every Nebraskan to believe, share, and live out their faith, both publicly and privately. We promote policy that protects religious freedom for individuals, families, ministries, and businesses, and oppose any and all attempts to compel people to compromise their beliefs or retreat from civil and political life as the price for following their faith. That's why we engage government and culture, and that's why we're dedicated to keeping you informed, because being engaged starts with being informed. That's all the time we have for this week. As always, for more information, you can visit our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for the Nebraska Family Alliance. Hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.